In Russia, the mayor of Moscow banned all large public gatherings. The announcement came just hours after Russian lawmakers adopted legislation that could keep Russian President Vladimir Putin in office for 16 more years. The legislation and the ban, unrelated, at least officially. Moscow says it's clamping down on public gatherings due to fears of the coronavirus. In the Arctic city of Vorkuta, people are still free to roam. But in that faraway outpost, Russians have other concerns. The Kremlin is expanding its military presence there, and NATO is responding. Reporter Alec Loon recently visited Vorkuta. He's based in Moscow. I asked Alec about the background, when the Arctic buildup began for both Russia and for NATO.
Really, it goes back to the Cold War. Both the United States and the Soviet Union understood that the quickest route for strategic bombers and then later on for the ballistic missiles that we were developing was over the North Pole.
What was once the impassable Arctic now provides the quickest routes for attack from a wide sector of Europe and Asia.
So both countries expected any sort of nuclear attack to come over the North Pole. The United States had a ring of radars through Alaska and the Arctic. Russia did the same thing.
And now in the 21st century, why is the Arctic so important for Russia? And how has Russia's presence there changed more recently?
Well, now that the Arctic is warming with climate change, Vladimir Putin has seen this as both an economic opportunity and also as a way to compete with the United States and other world powers. And this is all couched for Putin in the Northern Sea Route. Putin says that traffic on this sea route will quadruple and that it will come to rival the Suez Canal.
Do we have any comments from the State Department, or has Mike Pompeo, Secretary Pompeo, said anything about Russia's interest in the Arctic?
Secretary Pompeo has said that the United States has a close eye on Russia's buildup in the Arctic.
We are hosting military exercises, strengthening our force presence, rebuilding our icebreaker fleet, expanding Coast Guard funding, and creating a new senior military post for Arctic affairs inside of our own military.
So certainly the United States is also taking steps to not be left too far behind Russia in the military buildup.
So you recently visited Vorkuta, Alec, which is in the Russian Arctic. What's it like there, aside from unbearably cold?
It's actually this huge ring of settlements around this coal basin, right? It's a coal mining city.
So it used to be a gulag, right?
It started as a gulag. They sent, I think it was 15,000 prisoners to begin the mining. And after that first winter, only about 50 of them had survived. So you had huge human casualties to get this thing up and running. Eventually, they developed the mines. The downtown area may be okay still, but the settlements that make up the city have become these kind of post-apocalyptic wastelands where it's full of snow, the street is just a thick crust of ice, and there are these huge Soviet apartment blocks standing at the edge of the tundra because no trees grow in Vorkuta. It's so far north. The apartment blocks are mostly abandoned, so you'll walk through and just see apartment after apartment full of snow as the windows are broken out.
But you did find people who live there. So why are they there under such harsh conditions, and would they actually rather live somewhere else?
Vorkuta, despite its population decline, it's still the fourth largest city in the Arctic. I spoke with Ludmila Ivanova, who is 62 years old. Her husband died working in the mines at age 45. Her son was later killed in a car accident. She doesn't have enough money to move further south, so she continues working at the heating plant at the coal mine. She's been on the state resettlement list for 23 years. This is what she told me.
Я прожила свой большой жизненный путь на севере, и мне бы хотелось уже уехать в среднюю полосу.
So Ludmila says that she has come to the age where she wants to see a real spring. She wants to see the sunshine. She spent her whole life in the north, and now she feels like she's a hostage of the north.
I mean, it doesn't sound like people like Ludmila are really a priority for Moscow anyway. Why are they seemingly being ignored?
I think there's two reasons. The first one is that it's just really expensive to resettle some of these people from the Arctic. This is what Vladimir Zharuk, a former coal miner and geologist who's now become an activist for these hostages of the North, told me.
Проблема в том, что нет, кто бы мог сказать, что мы решим этот вопрос.
Zharuk sounds agitated. What did he tell you?
He's saying that the problem is that there's no one who will take charge of this situation and say, we're going to solve this issue and we're going to find the financing. they're running up against the second reason, I think, which is that since Soviet times, there has been this idea, in Russian it's called anchoring people in the north. The idea is that you not just develop the Arctic resource-wise, but you also populate it. And the people who move there to work, you try to keep them there with high salaries, subsidies, infrastructure, and so on. And so that you have this permanent population in the north, and that concept hasn't gone anywhere.
What does all this mean going forward? Will this buildup just continue?
I think the issue to watch is the resource extraction and the competition for those resources, because Russia has claimed a huge chunk of the Arctic seafloor for itself. The United States also has a claim. Canada, Norway, their claims overlap at certain points. And I think that's where there could really be a problem, is if some country starts developing the oil and gas reserves and another country says, well, actually, that's our claim. And then you could have more of a direct confrontation. But for now, it's more of a kind of tensions and, for lack of a better phrase, a new Cold War in the Arctic.
Alec Loon, a reporter based in Moscow, speaking with us about Russia and NATO's military buildup in the Arctic. Thanks very much, Alec.
My pleasure.
Check out Alec's photos from the mostly frozen tundra. They're on our website, theworld.org.